One day, a Jesuit, a Dominican, and a Franciscan were debating whose order was the greatest, not unlike the disciples in the Gospel of Mark. Suddenly, the Holy Family appeared to them, the infant Jesus lying in a manger with Mary and Joseph watching over him serenely. The Franciscan, moved at the sight of God being born in such poverty, fell to his knees in adoration. The Dominican was lost in contemplation of the marvelous analogy of the Trinity seen in the Holy Family. And the Jesuit approached Mary and Joseph, put his arms around their shoulders, and asked, "Have you given any thought to the boy's education?" 2018, 2018 is indeed a significant year for the history of Catholic and Jesuit education. It is the 470th anniversary of the founding of the first ever Jesuit school in the Italian town of Messina. You all know that Holy Trinity School this year and this weekend celebrates its 200th anniversary. It was founded by Benedict Fenwick, then pastor of this parish, who later became the first bishop of Boston, Massachusetts. And in that capacity, he founded the College of the Holy Cross, which this year celebrates its 175th anniversary. Now, I think that is his crowning achievement, but I'm biased. Holy Cross is my alma mater, and it's the place to which I owe my vocation as a priest and as a Jesuit. But in light of all of these anniversaries, it seems to me that these recent Sunday Gospels are very appropriate, for they've shown us Christ as teacher. As they're making their way from Galilee to Jerusalem, Jesus is instructing his followers in what it means to be his disciple. The word literally means learner or student. He's teaching them what it looks like to follow him, that great invitation. And in today's passage, James and John approach Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Now, any of you who are educators, were or are, or for that matter, any of you who were or are mischievous students, know that nothing good can follow an introduction like that. And indeed, these two brothers come looking for positions of honor, of prestige, to be seated at Jesus' right and left in glory. In the Gospel of Mark, the apostles only ever distinguish themselves in being staggeringly slow and hard-headed. Jesus may be the teacher, but for Mark, these are anything but star pupils. They don't get who Jesus is, still less the nature of his mission. Today's passage follows immediately the third time that Jesus has predicted his passion and death. And James and John are more interested in the seating chart. They may still be thinking of Jesus as an earthly Messiah, a ruler whose authority on earth they want to share. But whatever they're imagining, they clearly have no idea what they've just asked of Jesus. Interestingly, he doesn't correct their ambition, but he suggests that his own passion and death will be theirs as his followers. And when this doesn't work, when the other disciples grow outraged, presumably because they wanted to sit on the right and on the left, Jesus turns this, or tries to, into the ultimate teachable moment. And in so doing, he offers a manifesto on Christian discipleship. Here it is again. "Those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That is the kind of disciple, that is the kind of student that Jesus, the teacher, is trying to form. And cultivating that attitude is the goal of all Christian life, and therefore the goal of all Christian education. It's not just about forming brains, not focused solely on the head, but on the heart and on the hands as well, what we do. It's about forming a kind of human being in and for the church and society. All jokes about Jesuits and education aside, and I know that's a lot of jokes, that, forming that kind of person, is what the first Jesuits wanted to do in founding schools. In fact, starting schools was a conscious decision among Jesuits rooted in the gospel. We became a teaching order, but we were not founded to be one. There was controversy among the earliest Jesuits over this move when they opened in Messina. Men who had signed up to be foreign missionaries in India and China and the New World, so-called, or itinerant preachers in their own towns, found themselves teaching Latin and religion to school children instead. What was the point, they wondered? Isn't this secondary to our mission? But their questions resulted in an extraordinary document that was written by St. Ignatius Loyola's right-hand man, outlining the ways that education was a ministry. And I want to share just a few of them. Students will make progress in learning and will be helped in spiritual matters by learning Christian doctrine. The poor, who could not possibly pay for teachers, much less for private tutors, will be able to do the same. Parents will be influenced by the positive example of their children to live as good Christians. But lastly, those who are now only students will grow up to be pastors, civic officials, administrators of justice, and will fill other important posts to everybody's profit and advantage. To everybody's profit and advantage. Not to be served, but to serve. The greatest must be the servant. The first will be the slave of all. To give yourself away is the core of Christian discipleship. It is to be truly educated. Now, I'm not saying that only Catholic schools, still less only Jesuit schools, have a monopoly on forming this attitude of heart and head and hands, not at all. But they are places where it happens. And in claiming the name of Jesus, they have a special responsibility in that regard. Plenty of people come to Catholic and Jesuit schools thinking of their education as training for a better job, for a better wage, to provide a better life for themselves and their family. And all of these are good things in themselves. And they're not what Catholic, Christian, Jesuit education is all about. Still less is it about putting people in the fast lane with James and John to places of honor, or to acquire authority that can be lorded over people. You and I both know that we have enough of that in our world, in our nation, in our places of work, and in our church. This gospel calls us to something radically different, perhaps not in vogue, but as urgent as ever. Not to be served, but to serve. The greatest must be the servant. The first will be the slave of all. To give yourself away. I pray that in addition to grateful celebrations, those anniversaries that I mentioned, especially here at Trinity, in the school that surrounds us, will be occasions of recommitting ourselves to forming that person, that kind of Christian.